Pixar knows how to like find the little divots in your heart and just stick their finger into them and yank you up until you're crying, right?
And welcome back to another episode of Exposing Ourselves. I'm Travis Ritchie, and this is episode 78. This is the show where we expose each other to new things. Matt, a big music fan, will assign me one of his favorite music artists to listen to each week, and I, a movie buff, will give him one of my favorite films, and we come together on this podcast to discuss it all. And with me, as always, is my very good friend,
Matt Rundquist. Hey, Travis, how you doing? This week, I watched the movie Luca, and you listened to Laurel Sulfate and her Ladies of Leisure.
I certainly did, and that is an intriguing name, isn't it? Just kind of like, it just sparks the imagination. What are we going to be listening to this week?
So right?
That's,
yeah.
That's
it's a good one. It's a really good one.
My mindset going into this week, for sure.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, how was your week, my friend?
My week was really good. There's not a lot to report over here, which is kind of nice. Summer is coming to a close. With global warming and everything, I do think summer in Wisconsin now officially goes through the end of September. I don't know about meteorological or astrological or anything like that, but I do know that we are still expected to be in the mid-80s here through the middle, through the end of this week. So for me, that's summer weather. But in terms of activities and things, it's winding down. I did go to a friend's show on both Friday night and Saturday afternoon. So it was still a little bit of a busy weekend. But other than that, I am just prepping. I don't know if I told you about this camping thing that I'm doing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so in 2 weekends, I'm going to be performing at what's called the PRF Campout, which is it's like a summer camp activity plus music plus meals, sort of an all-inclusive fun time. But they have bands perform during it, and so I've resurrected Panko Stankhole from the grave, or not the grave, I don't know, from the hospital. It was in a coma, now it's back. Panko Stankhole is going to perform at the PRF Campout in 2 weekends. And it's just going to be me and Amy. I'm going to play a guitar, and she's going to sing and maybe play a little tambourine.
Wait, just the two of you at the whole campout?
No. Okay. That's who's going to be performing as Panko Stankhole.
Oh, so are you going to let her sing?
Let her sing. She sings. Yes, she sings.
I was just going to say that's a great idea.
Oh, well, thanks. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We all want the best for Panko Stankhole.
Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of what's coming up for me. But
I have a follow-up you move on from that. What is the initial stand for? PRF?
That's a really good question.
Oh, it is a mystery?
It's a bit of a mystery to me. It does actually mean something, but it's a sort of an indie music scene that popped up in Chicago around 10 years ago. I do know that the initials stand for something that's like really bombastic, and it's like a joke, right? It's like it's like real music or something like that, right? Like it's
pyrotechnic something rather. Okay.
It's over the top is the point. But everybody just calls it PRF, and every year they have a barbecue in late spring, early summer. They have the camp out in fall or late summer. And then over the winter time, they have a thing called Thunder Snow, which is up in Escanaba, Michigan, where they take over a hotel in Escanaba and do the same thing where there's a bunch of bands and everybody goes around to each other's rooms. And it's supposed to be a lot of fun.
Did you tell me about Thunder Snow last year?
I don't think so. I definitely did not do it.
It sounds familiar.
This is my very first PRF event. It was something that I wanted to do last year, but I did not make it happen.
Huh. All right. Awesome. That's exciting. What else is going on? Anything good? Anything fun?
No, that's it. I was just practicing instruments for performances. Of course, we still have the tea service performance coming up on October 5th. And I'm hopeful that we're going to get
that date again?
October 5th. And I'm
October 5th.
October 5th, yes. And I'm hoping to get a good crowd there at Bremen Cafe in River West in Milwaukee.
Nice. I hope you do too. I think that's going to be so exciting. I definitely want to see pictures, and if you are allowed to do video, then that too. But
yeah, I think we are. Yeah, it's all original music, so there shouldn't be any rights issues or anything. I'm hoping to stream it, but honestly, streaming is so weird now. You know, you got to have a certain number of subscribers on this or that or the other thing. And so I'm not 100% certain we'll be able to stream it, but I will at the very least have someone take a video. So
nice, nice. I look forward to seeing a bit of it then. That's awesome, man.
Well, what did you get up to?
My week was not, it was busy. I felt very, very busy this week, and partly was, you know, dealing with the trip to Toronto and the kind of like the recovering from that craziness and the heat, which had a couple more days after that, and then there was a really sharp fall off, and now it's like 75 degrees today here in LA. It's gorgeous, and so really, really nice. I started a, so I don't know if I told you last year that I had done the Upright Citizens Brigade Improv School. Do you remember that?
Sure.
UCB, they call it. And so I did, I missed doing improv and sketch comedy and stuff like that. So I took a bunch of UCB improv classes because you kind of have to start at the bottom, even though I was a full member, because they have a different style. So I took all their classes, graduated their program, and then took a sketch class from there that I got a good deal on. And then I just was too busy working two jobs last winter, and I wasn't able to do much of anything. So now I they have a new thing that they're doing called an advanced rep camp, which is for people who have graduated the improv program, you can just go, and for a smaller fee, it's just a, like, 20 people, and you just get up and you do scenes and you practice and you have fun and you're kind of getting the dirt off and getting the rust off and you know, getting fresh. And then it ends with a show at the end of the month. So so that's pretty cool. And I'm doing that twice a week. It's Mondays and Mondays and Wednesdays.
Okay.
So I jumped right into that last week. Had to bow out on Wednesday because one of my casting director classes got rescheduled to Wednesday, so I wasn't able to do it, but hopefully the rest of the month I'll be able to do both days per week and then do the show, so I'm very excited about that. Then, let's see, I did a, it's just been work, and I did a couple of birthday parties for friends, which was interesting, and I, it was just also classes, like I did, I think, two or three casting classes last week, which is a lot. And usually I do about five or six a month, but I don't know why. It just feels like I've been doing a ton this month. And it might just be because I'm also busy with everything else. But then on Saturday, some friends of mine invited me for a hike in the morning. And I hadn't taken Coco for a hike in a long time, because of the heat mostly. And so I was very anxious to get her back out and get some exercise. And so we did the hike in the morning, and then we had enough time that I went and played Ultimate Frisbee around noon.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a very athletic day for me. So I was weirdly enough, I'm sore in my neck this morning, like yesterday and today. And I think it's because I went for a dive to catch a Frisbee and I caught it and scored the point.
Ooh.
But I think I cracked my neck a little bit because I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
BS.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's tough to be 27, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, I'm old enough to drive or rent a car, but the rest of getting older sucks, man.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. Well, I'll let you know when I get there.
It's not shiz or it's not drizzle.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
Brizzle.
No.
Dive. Won't even try. You know, we can make up new words for ourselves too.
Oh man, I hope so.
I don't know. We're never too young to make up words. That's true. Anyway, let us get to the meat.
Let's get into it.
I can hear our audience screaming at us through the speakers right now. Get to the meat.
Get to the meat.
Do you know
we
what?
Want the meat.
I really want us to grow some point to get a live show, like, you know how podcasts will sometimes do live shows. I would love us to get to a show, and then we'll have like call outs from the audience, and one of them will be when they're sick of us talking, they'll just start screaming, "Get to the meat!"
Yeah, yeah, that's
I think that'll be great.
That's a beautiful fantasy.
Yeah. Anyway, so why don't we go ahead and shake things up and do, what do you think?
The music first. Let's do the music first.
Music first. All right. Tell me about, and I'm proud of myself for knowing this, Laurel Sulfate. But I don't remember the second part.
Her Ladies of Leisure. You're proud of knowing half the answer. That's great, Travis.
You know, it's
I can tell
than
you
I
did really
do.
Well academically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Well, no. When I knew you, I absolutely did not.
Yes.
Do you remember what my GPA was in college, by the way?
I never found out. Yeah.
When I left the University of Minnesota, my GPA was 1.87.
Wow. 1.87. Interesting. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. But I will say, when I went back to school this last time after the, you know, in the pandemic, it was much, much higher. I made the dean's list and I was like 3.8 something.
That's so great. Well. That's better than earlier.
Yeah. I made up for it. I did not know how to do college. School. I knew how to do the rest of college just fine.
Right.
But the school part eluded me. So anyway, Laurel Sulfate and
Laurel
her
Sulfate and her
Secret
Ladies
Service.
Of Leisure are a Milwaukee, I would call them dance pop. It's actually, so Laurel Sulfate is a songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and she's gone through a few different iterations of the Ladies of Leisure, but right now there's just one other person who sort of acts as a producer. So the Ladies of Leisure is more hypothetical at this point, especially because that other person is a guy named Mark.
Really?
But anyways, so The After Party is an album that came out in 2023, and I really love this album. I had only really heard singles from Laurel before, and I've been to a few of her shows, and I think she's a very clever lyricist. She incorporates sort of 80s dance pop, a little bit of rap, a little bit of almost Madonna-esque singing every once in a while. And I really like her musical ideas, and I really like her lyrics. So I know last week when I assigned this, I did try to request that you pay attention to the lyrics because I feel like they're an important part of the whole experience. But she's very feminist, very music positive, very sex positive. There's a lot of music here about being out on the dance floor and having a good time. I really like this. And like I said, she's a friend of mine, so I'm not gonna pretend like I'm not biased, but I think it's really good. Travis, what did you think of Laurel Sulfate and her Ladies of Leisure, The After Party?
Well, Matt, I will say that I forgot that this was a friend of yours and didn't know that this was a person you could possibly know personally, because I thought this music was far better than her audience would suggest. I'm looking at YouTube Music, and she has 38 followers on YouTube Music, and it's so much better than that.
It's a crime.
I also didn't realize that it was so recent, because this has heavy 80s vibes to it, and maybe early 90s. The very first song, I will say, is my least favorite song on the album. It gives me very Nine Inch Nails vibes. Like, it's got this kind of, like, closer vibe to
it. Sure. I mean, she would take that as a compliment, but yeah, sure.
Sure, probably, yeah. It's a little discordant for me in a way that I didn't really like. And I think when I first started listening to this album, that put me off. And so I think it took me a little bit further into the week, because usually I like to do my first listen right after you assign it, and then maybe wait a little bit, unless I love it, and listen to it again closer to when we record. This one, I let it go for at least a couple of days, and I also wasn't hiking, I didn't have any real opportunity to, like, listen in my normal way. But finally, I put it on in the car, and that proved to be a really fantastic place to listen to this music.
Mm-hmm.
My car speakers are pretty good, and I really enjoyed not only the throwback vibe, the kind of 80s synthesizer feel to it, but also the heavy use of kind of bass was really kind of energetic. And you mentioned dancey music. This is music to move to. especially after that first song. I don't know why the first song rubbed me the wrong way, but after that, like the second song is called 6 Feet Under the Dance Floor, and it's great. It's a banger. And I found myself moving to it. And the there was another comparison that I made as I was listening to this, and that was AJR. There's a song in here, and I think it is called Tip of My Tongue.
Okay.
Had this kind of very similar to similar sound to AJR's big song that I can't remember the name of.
Bang. I'm not sure.
Bang. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And so, but I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that kind of heavy hitting, like, oomph to it. But you're right. You could hear the lyrics. The lyrics are interesting. I don't remember off the top of my head any, but I do, in the moment, remember several times going, oh, that's a cool little line.
Right.
Oh, that's a well-written lyric.
Yeah.
And so, and that happened for sure more than once. I really liked it, Matt. This is gonna be a good one, and I'm so glad that these are your recommendations, because I was thinking, is it Matt's recommendation or was it a recommendation of a listener?
Okay.
And I'm very glad that it's yours, but also a little bit mad that they're not more famous.
This is true. This is true. They should be
this
bigger.
This artist deserves bigger. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about your impressions. I mean, you know
well the
them
first
better.
Time the first time that I saw her play live, I was invited by another friend of mine to the show, and she was one of the openers. And I liked the vibes. You know, she had a couple of people, but she really kind of commands. I mean, you can hear it when you listen to the music. Like, she kind of commands attention, and you want to hear what she has to say. And she has something to say. It's not on here, but she has a really great song about birth control, which sounds like a funny thing to have a song about, but it's like really good, you know, and it's uplifting and positive. And, you know, as you know, birth control is important for the freedom of women. Right. And so she's out there singing about, like, important stuff while also making it a party. So I think that's the thing that I really love about it.
Yeah. I was picking up, like, I don't know if I was picking up queer energy, but this is a very, like, gay-friendly album. Like,
yeah.
I could see the gays picking up on this and elevating her.
Yeah. It has a little bit of that energy to it. Yeah, for sure. So
I could certainly put a song or two from this album on my boyfriend playlist.
Nice, man. I would love to see that boyfriend playlist someday. That would be really cool.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see, right? I don't know if I have the bandwidth to actually do it, but we'll see. Someday. Maybe. I need a boyfriend first, right? Is that how the chicken and the egg of that happens?
Well, if you don't have the playlist ready when you get the boyfriend, then you're going to have a lot of work to do. Maybe you should start working.
I shall be inspired by love.
Oh, you'll be inspired by love, yeah. Well, right now you could be inspired by desperation, so... You know,
that's never good.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't sound as good, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say about this album, it's very well produced.
Right? And she does it herself.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah, she and her collaborator, Mark, produce these themselves. I don't think I don't think this is produced by, like, an outside party. Yeah. So they do a really great job.
Well, how many albums do they have? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head. They've released a lot of singles and sort of little things in terms of proper
full length. It looks like two albums and one EP.
Yeah,
what's
they
an
did.
EP? You've told me the difference before.
An EP, it's an acronym meaning extended play. But that's actually, it's shorter than an album, right? So usually.
But it's more than one song.
It's more than one song. Yep.
Okay. So three if you include the EP.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but they do really good stuff. So anyways, listeners, please check them out. Travis, are you ready to rate it?
I am. But before I do, I'll just remind people you can check out this playlist in our show notes. So just right in the podcast show notes, you can click on over to YouTube Music and give a listen to this album. Yeah, this is going to be a solid 8 for me.
An eight.
Really enjoyed it. I think the first song, a little bit of a ding. I also wanted to tell you that I appreciated a lot of variety in this.
Yeah,
in this music.
When we say that it's like 80s pop, like that's not, we're not saying that there's like a super narrow sliver. Like it is really kind of incorporating, you know, kind of Depeche Mode and Madonna and and other like pop vibes from the 80s and early 90s. Yeah, it's not just like one thing over and over again. That's a good point.
Exactly. I don't know if I got a ballad out of here. Am I forgetting one that might have been there? Like something like slower paced?
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's really a ballad. There's
which
something.
Fine. Which is fine.
Yeah. There's a couple of a little bit slower songs. But yeah, I don't know that there's really a ballad. Yeah.
And I don't know that it needed one. I just, when talking about variety, I don't know. I felt there was plenty. Maybe there could have room for more. Yeah. Like there's a range of you know how much variety do you need, and this is definitely enough.
Yeah.
But maybe there could have been more. That's all.
All right. Cool.
So yeah, eight for me. Eight really good, solid eight.
I think I'm gonna agree with you again, we've got eights falling from the sky lately, but
nice.
But I think this is an 8 for me.
That's good.
It's,
we're doing
it's
our
really,
jobs.
Really good. I'm tempted to give it a 9, but I do like the symmetry of both of us giving it an 8. And I listen to this regularly, but it's not like it's funny. I think I have an easier time giving a 10 than a 9, and I'm not quite sure why that is. I think it's because I can feel very clearly what a 10 is, right? A 10 is one of my favorite albums of all time, right?
Right, right.
But a 9 is like, is it one of my favorites, but it just falls short? Or is it like really, really, really good? What does really, really, really good mean? So I have a tough, it's a lot easier for me to give an 8. That means I really, really like it. And I don't have to worry about anybody thinking, oh, he was going to give it a 10, except for that song about birth control, right? You know.
Do you know that's almost exactly my subtext, my little sub thought process? also,
yeah.
I felt very comfortable with an 8. I flirted with the 9, but opted not to for very similar reasons.
Well, that's fair. That's
crazy.
Fair. Hey, Travis. Yeah. Tell me about Luca.
Luca is one of the missing Pixar movies from our mutual experience, and it came out in 2021. It's a coming-of-age story, kind of a fantasy film, kind of. Basically, it's about a sea monster, and I said last week he was a mermaid, essentially a mermaid, but actually like a humanistic sea monster. What's that called? When you anthropomorphized sea monster. That's the word. So a sea monster with arms and
right.
And a face and beautiful Disney eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this young boy is, of course, yearning for more than just his sea monster life, and he wants to see what's above the water, and so he one day does emerge from the water with the assistance of another young sea monster boy who kind of pulls him into the world of adventure, right? And so it's interesting because it's a shy boy kind of being pulled into life by the hand of this more outgoing adventurous, daring kid. And so there's that. But there is also, and I don't know if this was just me, but there is some like a little bit of a gay subtext there. And I don't know if it's gay, but maybe they're just too young to be even gay. Maybe it's just kids. But there's this kind of subtext where the shy boy kind of falls for the local town girl, and they become close, and the adventurous kid gets a little jealous, and so there's that kind of energy. I don't know. It's charming. I think I set it up last week to say that I thought it was better than Onward, and now that I've watched it again, I'm not sure that that's true, but I still did enjoy watching it again, and I'm curious, Matt, what did you think of Luca?
Yeah, so this was interesting in the sense that you set it up as like this is about friendship. And I think, yeah, sure, there's friendship. And I would agree that that dynamic between the two boys and the local human girl is there is maybe a little bit of romantic friendship going on there.
Like pre-romantic subtext.
Yeah, pre-romantic subtext almost. Like, what are these feelings type of thing? And, you know, with the changing and everything, there's like an obvious metaphor there about puberty and so on and so forth. But that being said, I really struggled with this movie, Travis, because it felt very paint-by-numbers for so much of it. Now, did they get me in the end? Absolutely, right? Like, Pixar knows how to, like, find the little divots in your heart and just stick their finger into them and yank you up until you're crying, right? Like, I definitely, like, choked up at the end of this movie. But I almost felt, like, manipulated, right? Like, like, so much of this is vaguely reminding you of something else that you liked better to the point where I was like, I don't know. What's with the lazy Italian stereotypes and the Little Mermaid of it all and there's just so much of this movie that feels like it's sort of like let's just chop up the plots of a bunch of movies, plot elements of a bunch of movies, throw them in a hat, and then we'll pull them out and we'll be like, here's our movie, right? And then we'll make a sappy ending to it. And
yeah.
You know, on the one hand, it works, right? It's all obviously beautiful. It's very well voice acted. It's got a few clever design elements with the race and the mountain and the way that it goes to the water. You know, and it's got the splash thing, right, where he's got to hide that he's a monster and so he can never get wet. But it just added up to... It was one of those movies that made me wish that I was watching Splash or wish that I was watching The Little Mermaid or wish that I was, heck, even wish that I was watching Onward, which is a pretty darn good Quest film.
It was unchallenged, right? It was unchallenging.
Yeah, it was unchallenging. The bad guy in this is, you know, he's bad. He's bad in a way that would be easy for any of the adults in the situation to handle, but for some reason they're like... Nah, we're not going to handle that. Like, there's this guy who's just wandering around town bullying the children of town, and everybody is just like, yep, that guy's a real jerk, huh?
Like, yeah. Yeah, you're sure. Cartoonishly.
Right? He's not trying to take over. Right, and I understand, right? Everything doesn't have to be, like, the end of the world, right? But, like, this guy is just kind of a jerk, and if somebody would take him by the shoulders and shake him a little bit, I feel like... It would be no problem, right?
Because the conceit is that he's too old to enter this race that's for children, right? Because he's over 16.
He's won it like five times in a row or something.
Yeah, and so because he's lying about his age. And so you could, but he's still a young adult. Like maybe he's 18 or 19.
Yeah.
So any adult would be able to like absolutely shake him up, swat him upside the head and be like, knock it off.
Yeah. So that was kind of my feeling while watching the movie was like, none of it is bad, right? None of it makes you go, oh my God, I can't believe this, right? But there's very little here that was like, oh, I love that. I love that design choice. I love that story. I love that character. I love that line. I couldn't tell you any of the lines from this movie. Not a single one of them.
Well, I do love Silencio Bruno, kind of the mantra
Silencio Bruno.
Of the film. and the kind of the thing that they make up to say, you know, that little voice inside your head, I call it Bruno. And whenever I need, whenever I want to do something, he's yelling at me not to do it. And I say, Silencio, Bruno. And that gets me through. That as a through line was pretty cool.
I will say there was some kind of corporate mistake here in the sense that because the Encanto came out shortly after this with the character named Bruno, and it does...
We don't talk about Bruno.
Right, we don't talk about Bruno. And so there's this feeling of you guys couldn't have sort of met and decided one of you gets the name Bruno because...
That's funny.
It's a little jarring and it pulls you out of the movie, right?
Or interesting. It did me. Yeah, I've only seen Encanto once. I didn't love it. But part of the problem is that Encanto and Luca feel very Disney, right? Mm-hmm. And Encanto was Disney. But this, as a Pixar movie, you expect, you hope for more. Mm-hmm. More depth, more complexity emotionally and narratively. And you just didn't quite get that. And,
I almost wonder, this movie has like very low expectations for itself and it meets them great, right?
Yes.
You know, like we're going to tell a small story that's set in a single village and a single bay, right? And we're not going to fly to the stars. We're not going to, you know, go to a different plane of existence or something, right? We're just going to tell a small story. And then they do, right? And so the consequence of succeeding is you've told a small story.
Yeah. And I will say I did love the sweetness of the story, even though it's not super original. And I loved the specificity of the Italian design. And you said lazy Italian stereotypes, but it's important to note that the director is Italian. And this is basically set in the town that he grew up in. And these people that you're meeting are the people that he grew up with. So they may feel like stereotypes, but they're... based on, you know, probably some of them are a little stereotypical, but, you know, for the most part, these are based on people he knew. And I could see that. I think about my own small town upbringing and, you know, and the characters that I grew up with. And I'm like, yep, okay, I've got those strange types as well as the weird uncles and the, you know, those kind of things.
Sure.
So, So I loved the specificity of the Italianness of this movie. Right?
Yeah.
It kind of infuses it from the very beginning, where the opening credits are in Italian, and it just kind of gets you in there with the music. It's set in the 1950s ish because it's far enough ago that technology hasn't really taken over, and also like motorboats are fairly new, and so it's an interesting time to be a sea monster in this world. And I do like that at the end of the movie, they're like, the sea monsters kind of come out and are all like, here we are, and we're part of your community.
I mean, that's a nice ending, you know. It just... there's just, yeah, I don't know. I guess what I will, my message is that it just didn't quite do it for me, you know? Reasons why I've already talked about, so I don't, you know.
Yep. No, I'll agree with you. It wasn't quite, I don't know. I remembered it being better, and I wonder if part of that was I watched it in 2021 while I was in Nashville, while I was making friends with, you know, I had a bunch of young kid friends in the neighborhood that I was, you know, so I was associating with people of that age at that time.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that informed my opinion of the movie at the time.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah. And yes, it gets your heartstrings a little bit at the end, and but you're right. It's just kind of like going along until then.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. So,
have you ever seen The Fox and the Hound out of curiosity?
Yes, when I was a kid. Yeah,
Disney movie. Okay.
Yeah,
and I'd like to revisit that someday.
Yeah, I like The Fox and the Hound, and I understand why this story has some similarities to it. you know, there's an element of unbelievability to this story that was maybe a little bit hard to get over, the whole sea monsters, but then they just like instantly look like normal humans when they lose.
It was a very quick transformation, which
it's
feels
a very
like...
quick tran. Like there's a bunch of like scares in this movie where they almost get caught, but then they like wipe their skin and it turns, you know, normal, and it.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe leaned on that pretty heavily, right? Because this, you know, everybody knows, like, when you, like, wipe your hand on your arm, that doesn't actually dry your arm, right?
Sure. Although we don't have sea monster skin, so maybe their scales are
right.
More hydrophobic.
You're a master of the art. You're a master of the art.
I'm just saying maybe, but the allegory is the way your fingers turn pruny in water. Is an autonomic response, right?
Sure.
It's not your hands aren't soaking up water and getting spongy. Your actual fingers are changing shape in response to the wetness, and so that's kind of what the reaction would be to a sea monster being dry or wet.
Sure.
And it certainly takes longer for our hands to turn pruny and then not turn pruny.
Yeah.
Than that. So, yeah. I agree. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, cool.
In a roundabout way.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah, there was. I. You know what? And I will say too, the character of a boy. What was the? Do you remember the friend's name?
Enrico.
Boy. Alberto.
Alberto.
Alberto. Yeah, and Alberto is on his own in kind of a tragic way that you learn. And there was a little more depth than you normally get in a Disney movie, maybe. And I really appreciated that. But I think it was, I don't know, it was not enough. Or
sure.
There's also a little bit where the girl that they meet, her dad doesn't have an arm.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point he acknowledges it and he's like, I was born this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's an interesting little tidbit. It's just
yeah.
a tidbit,
mm-hmm.
but it's there. But he's also super capable. And so there's this kind of like, you know, handicapable
yeah.
People with disabilities message there. And I really appreciated that. And it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel like,
no.
like we've got to put this in there. So, but I did appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. There are certainly things about it that are good, you know, but...
Yeah, it's worth watching if you haven't seen it. There's nothing offensive about this movie.
Yeah.
It's pleasant, and it's a fun kind of Sunday afternoon, especially if you've got kids, put it on, and I think everybody will enjoy it.
I should note that I did not watch Splash this week. I had intended to, but I didn't get to do that, so I can't compare
and contrast.
But you have
seen it.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Got it. Yeah, that's why. All right, well, would you like to give this movie a rating?
Yeah, I do. This was going to be a 2 or 3 for me, but I feel like the last 20 minutes really perked it up and made me enjoy the experience more. But I still don't think this even reaches average for me, so it's a 4.
Wow, not even average.
No. It was too... paint by numbers for me for that to really rise above.
And so I would have, and I'm not arguing with your ratings. You can have whatever ratings you want, but like I would have thought that a 4 would be like a paint by numbers movie that doesn't succeed at what it's doing. But
I would say for large stretches of this, it doesn't, right? Like the ending really does like kind of almost, you know, the emotion of the ending kind of came out of nowhere for me, you know? Like my emotion. It was well set up by the plot and the story. I'm not saying that's their fault, but I'm just saying I was really disengaged from this movie for most of the movie. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I am, I'm going to go ahead and give it a, I was going to give it a 7, but mm-hmm. I bought you up. You're almost bringing me down.
Oh no.
To say that, I'm going to stay with a 7, but like, okay. Yeah, I agree that it could have been better. It was a little lackluster, but it was fine. I enjoyed watching it, and there's a lot to enjoy about this movie.
Okay. Well, I'm not arguing with your rating at all either, but I will say you also gave Onward a 7. So, if that makes you think at all.
It does make me think. It makes me think hard. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'll tell you.
Travis is getting a little hot under the collar over there.
I am. I am blushing. I will stick to my 7, but it's a low 7.
It's a weak 7.
It's a high 7.
It's a weak 7.
But I think, yeah, Onward was a strong 7. This is kind of a weak 7.
All right. That's fair. Cool. Yeah. Well, Travis, what do you have for me next week?
Oh, God, is it my turn already? Wait, so next week is episode 79, so it's still a regular episode. We got one more until we do our very special episode, which should be a lot of fun. I think, take us back to our Martin McDonagh series.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you movie number 2 from Martin's oeuvre, and that is called Seven Psychopaths. Psychopaths is a movie that also has Colin Farrell in it, but it also stars Sam Rockwell and Christopher Walken. And a bunch of other people you've seen. And it is essentially about a writer trying to write a movie. And it's very meta.
Okay.
But the subplot is that his friends run a dog napping ring and they steal rich people's dogs in order to return them for the reward money.
Uh-huh.
And that's how things start. And of course, they steal the wrong person's dog at
right.
one point.
Yeah, so, sounds interesting.
It's fun. It's one of my. It's definitely one of my two favorites of his.
Okay.
I think it's my favorite from a funny point of view. Like, I wonder if you might have the same issue that you had with In Bruges, where the comedy is kind of dark.
Mm.
But I feel like this comedy is a little more actual comedy. But I haven't seen it since I was prepping for shooting with Colin. So
okay,
it's been 2 years for me. So it'll be fun to get back to it.
All right.
So what have you got for me?
Well, have you ever heard of Ray LaMontagne?
No.
Okay. Ray LaMontagne is I want to say folk writer, singer-songwriter. He's a solo guy. He's kind of similar to some people that we've covered before. We covered Gregory Alan Isaacoff, and we covered Bon Iver. But this one, I think, I'm hopeful that this will spark your interest a little more, because there's just a little hint of like the neo-soul in a couple of his songs that I know you've really liked, and Fits in the Tantrums and Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. There's a lot of like sensitive, quiet songs here, but they're good, right? I like them. And I think you might be able to get your hooks into them, especially when you bring in those other elements. He's also got a really nice, he's got like a little bit of a rasp to his voice, but not like in an annoying way, just like a little bit of, you know, a little bit of guts to his voice that is really enjoyable. He's actually very popular. There's a bunch of these songs this is a playlist. Sort of a best of, and there's a bunch of these songs that have tens of millions of views. So he's pretty popular guy. This isn't like Gregory Alan Isaacoff, where there's like one song way above the rest of them. There's a few really good ones here, and I tried to put them nice and early in the playlist. So hopefully,
good,
you'll approve.
Nice. So Ray LaMontagne.
LaMontagne, yeah.
Okay. This is a very interesting name. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. But I'm curious, Matt, before we leave, how do people let us know if they agree or vehemently disagree with our opinions, or even give us suggestions for things that we can listen to and watch?
Well, they can write to us at exposingourselvespodcast@gmail.com, or they can go on our Facebook page. Just search Exposing Ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And if they should want to express adoration for the work we do, how would they do that?
Well, the best way to do it is to go into your podcast player, scroll all the way to the bottom, and give our podcast a 5-star review.
Oh, and thank you for that. Leave us a little note. We'd appreciate that. Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
Thank you so much for exposing yourself to me.
Well, thank you, Travis, for exposing yourself to me.
Anytime.